one reason that it really blesses us is to the questions that they ask. And there's so many that actually want, they don't want games as much. They just want to know more about God. And these are high school kids, right? So I'm blessed by them, especially when, if I miss one time and we call it the upper room, we come up to the top and we have a Bible study, and they really give me a hard time if I miss it. And two of the guys that give me probably the hardest time is Ryan Shobosh and Gio Kent. And I'm blessed by them. And I wanted to, speaking of, in the last few weeks, we talked about hardship, right? We all are in different places in our spiritual walk. And some of us, we just go through hardship in life, either through accidents or financial situations or relationships. And that's the greatest opportunity for us to call out to God, amen? Because God sees us. And just as we read last week, we might be pressed on every side, but we're not destroyed. So I asked if Gio would be okay with sharing what God is doing in his heart during this time. How many of you know Gio here? I would say professional bull rider, something I personally do not care to do ever. A lot of more dangerous things I would pick to do than that, but his faith in what he feels called to do and what he's doing, and so I'm just going to give you a moment here, Ken.
So I broke my back, and I have two rods and eight screws now in there. And I was questioning at first why this happened, because the Sunday before church, or before I got hurt, I missed church, and I was on the rodeo trail, and I won a pile of money, and it was fun with all my friends. And when I got to touch that mic at that rodeo in front of everyone, I gave all the glory to God, and everything was good. And then not but 3 days later, I am laying in a hospital bed wondering if I'll ever be able to do it again. And I was wondering why it was, or why God was doing this. And I wasn't ever cursing him or anything like that. Sean helped us. We read through Job, and I feel like that really helped me through this. Not cursing God or being mad at him for anything, just asking him why and trying to understand. And I feel like Galatians 5:28, the fruit of the Spirit, my friend, and some, I feel like my friend and someone I look up to sent me that. And in all of that, in the middle of there's long suffering. And I feel like, because when you're in a time of pain and you're down, Jesus is always there, and there's always something to be grateful for. I have so many friends around me that care about me, and I have a beautiful family, and through all of this, it's just brought me closer to him. And when I'm walking around and people see me and kids say, "Oh, you're so lucky," it's not luck, it's God. And I just gotta thank Sean and thank all my friends and family. So thank you, everybody.
Thanks, brother. Actually, come on up here. And we're all gonna stand and we're gonna pray for Gio. As the family of Christ, if you just extend your hand and pray with me as we pray over him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this young man that you have here, Lord, that Father God, that, Lord, all the talents that you've given him, Lord, I just ask that you would bring peace and healing over his body in the name of Jesus. That, Father God, as he's giving glory to you, that, Lord God, you would open doors or shut doors, but that, Father, he would have a peace that passeth understanding over him. Lord, we thank you for your protection. We thank you that, Father God, you know is coming and is going. And so, Lord, I pray over him in Jesus' name that his eyes would be as flint unto you, and that, Father God, you would direct his paths. And as we pray for all of the kids in our youth group, Lord, and those that are seeking you, Lord, may we be found faithful to help guide and lead and encourage and uplift them as they pursue the calling of God in their life. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, brethren. The scripture, actually turn with me. We're going to start, it's going to be a little different, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word today. I thank you for everyone that is present. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would move, convict, encourage, and uplift. And Lord, we just pray for hope for the hopeless, Lord, those that are struggling in their walk and are in their abilities, that, Lord God, you would just reveal yourself. Those who do not fully understand or fully know you, Lord, I pray that you would just overshadow them with your love and understanding, that, Father, you would speak to the seed that you've placed in every person in this world, Lord, that there is more to life, that you have set eternity in the heart of man. So, Lord, I thank you that, Lord God, you are speaking and you are moving and you are bringing the increase in lives this morning in this building. In Jesus' name, we honor you, Lord. We come before you in reverence and respect and, Father, want to glorify you in every way that we can. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I normally don't give homework, but I want to do this because I think it's important. And as you read it through the week, not only will it bless you, it'll give you a deeper understanding for the message today. And this is all going to tie into the last messages that we've done over the last few weeks. But I want you to read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's not a whole lot to read in that amount of time and before next week. But if you would read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and this is why. Anytime in the Bible when Jesus is talking and he says, therefore, like he does in chapter 7, verses 24, he's speaking in regards to everything that he just said. So this is the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, right? It covers the Beatitudes, the salt and light, the deeper heart level and meaning of the law. I mean, it really breaks it down. In chapter 6, we have righteousness, the Lord's Prayer, storing treasures. Where is our treasure at? Heaven and trusting God and not to worry. And I don't know about you, but I think everyone in this room deals with worry from one time or another. And so that's in chapter 6. And 7 wraps it all up, and it speaks of the narrow gate and the final call to obedience. And so Jesus at this point mentioned all of this in these chapters. Now remember, there wasn't chapters in the original scrolls, but that's for our benefit. So basically, he was saying all of this, and he says, therefore, what you're going to read this week, 5, 6, and 7, he says, therefore, in verse 24, chapter 7, 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, chapter 5, 6, and 7, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against it, and that house, it fell with a great crash. It didn't just collapse, it was a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. So think about that for one moment. Jesus is saying, therefore, everything that I've just said, everyone who truly hears it, and when he says, he who has ears, let him hear, it's like, no, listen up. You who need to hear this, listen. It's really emphasizing our need to truly listen. How many of you know you can hear and not listen? Our kids do it, right? Sometimes. Sometimes we do it to our kids. We're waiting for an answer, a response, or something to fix, but we're not really listening. It takes time to listen, right? It actually is an art in a way to really truly listen to the heart of what's of somebody, of what they're saying.
right? So as we continue, the reason I mention that is because we're talking about foundations. And if you would turn with me now over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I mentioned this lightly in the last 2 weeks, but I want to talk about, in 1 Corinthians 3, we know that Christ is our foundation. It's almost, it's almost just cliche to say, hey, he's our foundation. We know that. But this is more than just our spiritual walk with him, our relationship with him. It's to be the foundation of our marriage, the foundation of our relationships, the foundation of our business, the foundation of how we live, how we think, what we allow in our life. Jesus is to be the foundation, and it's important. And Paul was mentioning in this chapter because people were building on something he already started. Remember, he started the churches. He went and planted churches, and people came, and he did this great work, and now other people are coming on and trying to add to the foundation that was laid, which is Jesus Christ alone. That's in the world today, too. There's anytime anyone wants to add to the foundation of what Jesus is, that and the true gospel of Jesus Christ is this. Everyone in this room, I'll say it again because some of you don't know it, but everyone in this room is a sinner. Everyone in this room has lied at one time or done something that is worthy of death according to the laws of God that we cannot fulfill in our own efforts. Although many have tried, we could not do it alone. So he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross, to become sin, he who knew no sin, so that me and you could be restored to a right relationship with him. People go, well, that's not fair. I don't think people should get away with doing bad things, and now they just get a free pass. It's not a free pass. To truly follow Christ means you give him your life. It's not a sentence you say. It's the actions you do. And it's something that we all work through, because it says work through your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Fear, reverence, and trembling in awe of God. I do not want to offend he who sent his son, he who died for me, because I love him. That is the only way we stop doing things that we know are harmful. It's because we are empowered and changed by the life-saving grace of Jesus Christ in our heart. And it changes the way we think and then we view things. And so when we look at the scripture and Jesus is saying this, that's why I want you to read it, because when you read it, I bet you most of your problems, you'll see the answer in those chapters. Jesus directly tells us how to do and how to live. And because you're not going to be able to do it on your own, he dies on the cross so that we may be redeemed, and then seals us with the Holy Spirit, a paraclete, one who comes alongside, a spotter, if you will, to encourage us and strengthen us to do that which is good, right? And so as we're talking about the foundation here, now we're in 1 Corinthians 3, and I think it's important, so we're going to start in verses 9. And Paul is saying this as leaders. Remember, they were arguing over which, basically, church they went to. I go to Apollos, and I go to Paul. They were arguing over church leaders and which one was better. Does that happen today? Probably, right? So people are going to do what they do. It doesn't change the fact that God's truth is truth, right? So people will do and make excuses or whatever. He's getting right to the point. He says, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. God's building, speaking to the people. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only has one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Now, he's saying this because, hey, God is going to bring it. Now, how many of you know how many judgments are there in the Bible? How many judgment seats are there? Two, right? There's the great white throne judgment, which is found in Revelation. And there's the Bema Seat judgment. Now, the Bema Seat in this time was basically in the Roman Colosseum. They would have a big place where people could stand. We see it in everything. When people win a race, there's the high platform, a little one, and another one for first, second, or third. The Bema Seat is a picture of that. In other words, you're going to be judged by the quality of your work, by that which lasts. And everything else, he's saying, so as Christians, guess what? There is a judgment. It's not for your soul, because if you've given your life to Christ, you're saved. But you will be judged by what you've done with what you've been given. And I also believe this firmly. This is my personal belief, that God, out of his love for everyone in this room, including myself, holds back a certain amount of revelation of who he is until obedience is in step with what he wants in your life. Because he loves you, because the more you experience, the more you're accountable for. Does that make sense? The more you experience God in your life, the more you are held to an account of that. And that's important to understand, okay? Because and a lot of the time, once you realize that God knows best, and that, yeah, you might want something or think something, but if you trust him, it might be uncomfortable, and a lot of the times it can be, but you put your trust in him, ultimately, there's a peace and an understanding in any kind of storm that gives you a rest assurance that it's going to be okay. When we look at this right here, it's like, hey, your works, what you're doing, there's people that do ministry, think they're doing because they're doing it because maybe they don't understand that God loves them, and they still think they have to work for it because they picture God like a father or a mother who never said, I loved you, and never stood beside them. They view God the same way. So they're constantly working, trying to earn something they could never earn, and the whole time they're so busy, they're not resting and experiencing God. There's a lot of reasons, but when you realize that God has created you and me for a specific purpose, it could be just to be where you live on your street for that one moment that your neighbor falls and you get to tell them about Jesus before they die. It could be something greater than that. It could be whatever. The point is, you're okay with whatever it is because you're lining your life up with him. And you give him the outcome. You trust him in that. But everything that we do, everything that people build, we're going to find out that when judgment comes, it's going to burn away everything that wasn't built on the motivations or good motivations, that wasn't built on the Holy Spirit and God. They're not going to be around. That's what Paul is saying. He even says later, judge nothing before it's time. Yeah, there's certain things and heresies we would judge for sure. But he's saying, hey, this isn't a salvation issue. Whatever, don't judge anything before it. God will reveal it. And you know what? Everything is truly tested in the first place. I know I get tested. How many of you had a great experience in your life where you felt God doing, and then all of a sudden the wheels on the bus fell off? And now you're trying to make sense. You know, everything and everything that happens to us, some of it is our own choices that we make, some of it is someone else's choices, but the whole thing, God can be glorified in it through us and the way and how we view it, deal with it, and whether or not we're going to be obedient to him. When we talk about foundations, there is that judgment of trying to do things for the wrong reason. And one way you can know it, when people go, is God telling me to do something? Go, what is your motivation behind it? And someone told me this, and I believe it. If you're willing to give someone else all the credit to stand behind a curtain and never be recognized by your peers, and you're willing to do that because you know it glorifies God, that's probably God. If you're doing it for recognition, to be seen, to be heard, to have some validation from people around you, you're probably doing it for the wrong reasons. And that goes with all kinds of things in your life. Should I call that person? Should I, wherever it is, ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? What is the true motivation behind it? Because I believe the Lord shows us those things. And when we truly want to glorify him and not get any credit, because we're trusting him, right? I mean, that puts us in a place of, wait a second, you mean I'm going to do good and not get good done back to me? I'm going to loan money and not get that person to loan me money when I need it. You know what I mean? Scratch your back and I scratch yours kind of a thing. You know the saying, right? Is that, that's how the world is. But as Christians, we're to be different. We're to live differently. So speaking of the foundation, we know that we want to build that which lasts. Amen. How many of you want your marriage to last? Don't say anything. That was a bad question to ask out loud. I've learned that sometimes when I ask questions, that's not always wise. I don't know what I'm going to get from you guys. Every marriage has ups and downs, okay? And you can't, it takes two to tango. So when it comes down to relationships, but to have that strong foundation in your walk with God, in your job, in your business endeavors, when you put Christ first, he can open and do things that you and I cannot do, right? Amen? Did I share with you before the example of me getting the only guy who never had to work on Sunday in Novato Costco? Right? I was being tested. I needed money. I slept in a room with a bunch of people, like literally, it was hard. And I said, God, because I didn't want to work on, I said, I'm not going to work on Sunday. And I'm not telling you guys to do that. This is me in Bible college. And the fact that God gave me that call while I was complaining has still sticks with me to this day as an experience that I have, because there's no way that's coincidence that I'm the only person, even over managers, that didn't have to work on Sunday. That's God, right? So when you think about, and it's not because I'm special. You, same thing for you. When we make our stand on those things that are important and we build on a foundation that lasts, watch what God can do with that in obedience. Now turn with me over to Romans chapter 5. And I want to say this to you because it's encouraging to me. We're going to be in Romans 5, but I also want to quickly speak on Romans 4, verse 18, where it talks about Abraham. Because it says, I love it, against all hope. Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said of him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Remember, God said he's going to give him this promise. Some of you feel like your body can't do anything. How many of you want to raise a baby at 100? Right? God gave you, said he's going to make you the father of many nations, and he waits till it's physically impossible. Why? So that all the glory goes to him. But it wasn't just there. It was the fact that Abraham, against all hope, and the next word I want you to hear, against all hope, Abraham hoped and believed and so became the father of many nations. He hoped and he believed. What is hope in the translation of the Bible? I say this a lot. Amen. Yes. Hope is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. In other words, it's substance, it's expecting. It's not like, oh, I hope it happens. Hope I win the lottery. Not the same hope. This is a hope of he's coming. It's done. I'm waiting. It's like knowing your ride is coming, that the Father's coming. It's an expected hope. It's not a maybe. It's already done, and you're expecting it. That's what it is. There's a difference in the translation and the word, and you need to hear it. It's expecting, right? It's an expectant hope. So Abraham, against all hope, in other words, against all human intellect, everyone in their right minds would say, this is not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. Well, guess what? Who's bigger than science? God is. Right? There's so many miracles that happen all the time, and people just, oh, well, that was coinkydink. No. It's the timing and the way that God does things. And God is always doing things, always around us, whether you feel it or not. You know, it's not a feeling thing, just like that song. Even if I don't feel it, he's always working. Right? Do you believe that this morning? So now in Romans chapter 5, it says, I'm going to pick up here. So therefore, since we have been justified, I just shared that little bit about Abraham. But therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope. It's a hope that does not disappoint. Now, this is a part no one likes. Well, what about suffering produces perseverance? Now, suffering in this translation isn't just physical suffering. It could be any suffering that you have. Sometimes relationships are suffering. Sometimes your job is suffering. Sometimes you have other things going on mentally that could be suffering. Financial. It's any type of hardship. It's not just a physical ailment. Any type of hardship that gets you down or a situation is an opportunity, because through that, that patient, now perseverance, just so you want to know what it means in the Greek, because I think it's important, it means to stay steadfast, but I like this word, patient endurance. You're waiting patiently. You're going to hold strong through the hardship. And from that, what is built? What is built? Perseverance, character. Our character. Character is dokeme, which means proven, tested character, shown reliable through testing. How do we know where someone is at? By tests. We get tested. You know where you're at in school? By your test. How much of the body of information and knowledge do you really possess is how well you do on the test, right? Some of us aren't great at tests. Some of us are. But here it is speaking that you have been tested and you are reliable. How many of you know character? We live in a society where everything is victim mentality. And I'm not lessening hardships that people go through. Some people's hardships are harder than others, right? And so we live in this world where everything's comparing. But we do live in a society where it's all about being a victim and who owes you. It kind of goes against the fact that we live in a society where everyone has fallen. Instead of politics trying to change people, you got to really understand the only thing that changes people is God and the Holy Spirit, and He changes the heart, which is the core problem of all of the issues in the world today. And so when we think about it, how about this? Some of you have had great upbringing, some of you might not have. Whether or not you can make your past, you can serve it in a way that you become dysfunctional and you can blame everybody and never take responsibility. And you know what? You really have been harmed and hurt. No one's disagreeing with that. But now you've been a slave to it instead of being a new creature in Christ Jesus that we're going to read about. You've been a slave to it. You've been bitter, not willing to forgive, not willing to let go. And you know what? The only person you're hindering is yourself. I mean, if our hope is truly in Him, it doesn't matter what's happening around us because our eyes are on Jesus. Amen? The hope, so perseverance, character. And that hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, this shows you an example of how much God loves us, that while we were still powerless, which means we are filled with power of the Holy Spirit now, because this is when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, think about this. I have to be careful. I know I'm not the only person probably, but when I watch a show and you get that one character in your mind and you start to hate the character because they're such a good actor, you're like, I can't stand that person, right? And you're like wishing ill will. You want them to get taken out, right? They're going to die. Babe, they need to go. We need to take whatever, train station, whatever you want to call it, right? I'm thinking of that kind of vengeance, that kind of anger. Some of you older maybe don't have that. Maybe 20s, 30s, 40s, it still lingers a little bit. I wouldn't even say it's anger. You're just passionate about what you're watching and you want justice to happen. But even while we're sinners, that means the most vile thing you can think of, Jesus died for that person. I don't understand that. Okay? I don't understand that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. Because I honestly view that my sins aren't as bad as some. And some of you probably do the same way. But when we realize we don't deserve anything, no one in this room deserves anything, it puts a level playing field. And no matter what the sin is, it's all the sin to death. And the real reason that people go to hell isn't because of the bad things that they do, it's for rejecting the one who saves them and changes their heart. The only person who can redeem them is Jesus. That's what sends people to hell. Not because they're a drinker, a drunkard, an adulterer, or a murderer, or any of these things. Those are byproducts of the fallen nature. God knows all about that. They go to hell because they reject that still small voice telling them they can repent and change their life, and they choose not to. That's the truth. People go, I gotta be good to go to church. No, you don't. You just gotta wanna try to change your life. No one's judging, and if people are judging, it's because they are not secure in who they are in Christ, so they have to pick others apart. It's a religious critical spirit. It's everywhere. Doesn't matter if it's here, it's everywhere. It could be on the playing field where it doesn't matter. People who tear down others, it's because deep down they're insecure themselves. But when we look at what the word is saying, God is we're all sinners, all of us. And Christ died for all of us. He didn't die because we were good, he's making the comparison. Some of you would die for a good person, and all of us would say, yeah, I'd give my life for my kids and my wife and my loved ones. Well, that's easy. But would you give your life for the person that brings your blood pressure to a boil and the anger and the frustration of the injustices of the world? No, we can't do that, but Jesus did. He first loved us. And as I mentioned last week, we are to reflect that love, but we can't do it if we're not in it, if we're not resting in it, if we're not found in it, if we're not surrounding our life with it, because it's a byproduct of our relationship with Him, not some religious action that we do. It comes without you trying. It comes from who you know. And the more we yield, the more you understand, the more you experience, and the more you see God. In the little things. But it is truly something we have to yield to do. Right? Am I losing you? Am I on a rabbit trail? Be honest, you can tell me. I know I go down them. So now if you would turn with me over to, well, God demonstrates His own love for us, but the key point also is, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we are now reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the ministry, basically, of reconciliation. So our job is to help restore others into that relationship by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ through preaching, through teaching, but also being a kind, decent human being when you walk down the street to meet the need to earn the platform to share with someone. When they go, I don't understand why you're helping, you could say, well, can I be honest with you? It's because Jesus put you on my heart. You see the difference? Compared to, I'm going to tell you because everyone, the bullhorn guy. It doesn't matter if that could be a work that burns up. The works that last cost us something. You want a marriage that's strong, it will cost you something. You want relationships restored, it'll usually cost you something. Anything that has true value costs something. Amen? Now, when you turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So let us examine our foundation. That's what we first hit, right? Make sure your foundation is strong. Is your relationship built on that foundation? Is your business mindset? Is your everything you do you come to Christ and want to build it on that which lasts? Then find rest in your justification, because none of us were good, right? So we don't have to strive. We just need to start trusting God more and studying the Word more. Trusting and studying. Putting ourselves in a place to receive and being obedient in the little things that God gives us. In Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14, for Christ's love compels us because we are not convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, Jesus, and therefore all of us, if we truly believe that, have died to ourselves, I'm paraphrasing, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we so no longer. In the King James, it would go, we regard no one after the flesh, not even Christ Jesus. In other words, what is our spiritual perspectives to be with every relationship that we have? How are we supposed to view every relationship that we have? Through the eyes of Jesus. No worldly point of view. What would a worldly point of view be? Comparison. How many of you know comparing is dangerous? Some of you haven't learned that yet. Comparing is dangerous because you don't know the full story, right? I don't want to go on a rabbit trail with that. We'll deal with that another day. But knowing that it's not healthy to compare, it actually shows a level of immaturity because there's too many variables involved. You can't compare yourself to someone else. You don't know the whole story, and you only know what you see, and sometimes that's not necessarily true. But stop comparing. But the point is, we are to know no one after a worldly view. That means someone you don't like. Doesn't mean you have to be friends with them, but you're not to view them with disdain. You're supposed to be like, Lord, if you have something for me to do, I'll do it. But everything is viewed through him. Amen? Everything. Your worldly perspective has changed. The way you relate to people is different. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, has come, and the old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God is reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen. We are all called to be ambassadors in Christ Jesus. So would you stand with me, please, as we... So what are you going to read this week? All right. Romans 5, 6, and 7. I was just checking. Y'all passed. But know this, I mean, it's not like, you know, there's in your life you go, well, I've done this back then. Or I gave my life to the Lord back then. Where is the Lord in your life now? What's the foundation in your life? I believe 100% you can say I gave my life to the Lord and you could build something real nice looking. But if the Lord has to, he'll tear all that down because the foundation isn't good. We want our foundation to be in him, amen? You guys know this. But then also know that our hope is in the fact that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, not because of us, but because of his love for us. And the more we yield and the more we obey, the more newness of life that we walk in. The shame and the things of the past, they don't hold you anymore. Those are just lies from the enemy. That we can experience God in a new and living way, an amazing way, every single day, if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the patterns that you give us in your word, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness to your word, not only to watch over and perform it, but that, Lord God, you know where everyone is in this room. Lord, I thank you that your word is living and active, and it's different. When we study it and we ask you that, Lord, you would just move. So you know every heartache, Lord, every broken body in this place, every confused mind. And so, Lord, I just ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would touch those people in a way that only you can, to just lead them and guide them in a deeper walk with you. That, Lord, let those who do not know that you're there, that you are there. Lord, I pray that you would just overshadow them. Lord, I thank you for this building, but Lord, I mostly thank you for everyone that's in it. I thank you that we gather here today to glorify you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would be honored in our actions, that we would check our motivations, and that, Father, we would be hungry for your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. And all God's people said, amen. May you go and be a blessing. If you need prayer, we're here to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you.